Welcome to the latest edition of K-Rock Football's Coaches Catch-Up. Here's your host, Tom King.
They were beaten semi-finalists in 2019 and had their eyes on going a couple of steps further in 2020. They still had their eyes on going a couple of steps further, but it'll be 2021. The man to guide them again is Paul Nigro. He's been good enough to join us in the K-Rock studios. Paul, a very good afternoon to you. Great to be catching up with you. And the first question I want to ask is, how's the health? You've obviously had those battles through 2019, but you would have been back to fighting weight in 2020.
Yeah, thanks, Tom, and good to be here and seeing your smiling face as usual. Yes, deal with that first. Yeah, 2019 was a little while ago, but certainly health scare, you never wish anyone to go through, particularly at sort of our age when you've got the, plenty of things going on and you think you're invincible, but it certainly knocks you around. And fortunately, things are all clear and on the upward scale. And so, yeah, we were looking forward to 2020, obviously, but then another dilemma hit called COVID, and the whole footy world missed out locally. So, we're certainly looking forward to 2021, barring no hiccups, and as all the other clubs would be too. So, yeah, full steam ahead.
You and I have spoken about this, but for those who might not have read some of the stuff that we've written at carrockfootball.com.au, do you feel like this is the year you'll finally get a decent crack at coaching Anglesey Footy Club?
It's been a bit of a roller coaster and a bit of an ongoing joke in the club as well. But, yeah, certainly, touch wood, we do get a clear run at it for the next 6 or 7 months. And, we've got a very mature group. And, we're there to do business.
Yep. You are a year older. You've lost a couple through retirement. Zane Vale came back to play footy and had the year with you guys and would have played last year. But nearing 38, I think Zane put his hand up and said that was it.
Yeah, exactly right. He's a terrific fella. And, we signed him with a view of a two-year situation. But obviously the second year we missed out. And he just can't get his mind and body rounded at that age, and the year off certainly didn't help his cause at all. So unfortunate for Zane, but I'm sure he'll be around the club throughout the year.
Yep, not in the same age bracket, a little bit younger, but still with the three in front of the ages. Ryan Dullhouse, former captain of the club, has made the decision to pull stumps as well. Did that catch you by surprise, or did you see it coming?
Yeah, again, Ryan was weighing up 2020, so in hindsight, I guess that hasn't helped his cause either. He's, as you said, a year older, and he's got plenty going on in his work and home life as well. So just that balance, he couldn't fit that in, unfortunately. Again, he'll be round the club. He's not going anywhere else, and the door's always open for him and Zane if they decide to change their mind. Absolutely.
Yep. What do you lose in somebody like Ryan not being on your list and being available?
Ryan has been in the club for a number of years and two or three time best and fairest player, and he just goes about his business in a workmanlike manner week in and week out. Terrific fella, likeable, easily coachable, flexible, relates well to everyone, and he'll be missed on the field. Hopefully, as the season progresses, we get him into some sort of role off field and help us that way, tracking forward.
Yep. Dale Carson's in a similar age bracket to Zane Vale, but will play on and continue what has been a wonderful local career. He just continues to defy what the birth certificate says, doesn't he?
You're obviously starting at the top end with numbers, Tom. Certainly, Dale. Dale's he's in terrific nick, as good as he was 12 months ago, and he's ready to go round one as we speak. So, yes, defies a lot of things, but while he feels he's certainly serviceable and of great need on the field, he's put his hand up, which is great.
Yep. Started at St Joseph's when he crossed from Geelong West as a forward and went back. Started at Anglesey as a forward and has gone back. Is that where he'll play, barring any issues with Jordan Erskine, that you'll run Carson as a key defender?
Yeah, look, that's the plan at this stage. Dale's extremely versatile, as we know, and can certainly go forward at the drop of a hat. But he'll certainly start back in at the start of the season. And one good thing with our whole group, we've certainly got a lot of flexibility and versatility within the group going into 2021.
Yep. Let's talk about the new faces, a handful that you welcome to the club. Northern Suburbs of Melbourne have been good to you in Lewis Beers from Heidelberg, Nat Leach and Brett Middleton from the Pantney Hill, Greensboro area. What can you tell us about those three that have arrived to the club?
Yeah, terrific additions to the club. Lewis Beers from Heidelberg, he's been there for the last 4 years, relocated, and he's got work down here, living down the coast, and has really fitted in well and has shown us quite a bit through the early stages.
Yep. Position-wise, how do you...
Yeah, Lewis has played predominantly back, maybe key back with Heidelberg. That role may vary for Lewis as well, looking to give another string to his bow. But he's up and running and ready to go. Brett and Nat, yes, they've had a couple of years off. But again, they've relished the sea change, living in Torquay, working in Torquay, playing with Anglesey. Brett will play a ruck slash forward role, and Leachy, we can see him sliding in the back half at some stage, I would think.
Okay, a couple of players from GFL clubs, Andrew Schnearing from Grovedale, Bilal Sob from South Barmont. You expect to be in your 2 o'clock side, or it'll be your 6 o'clock side in round one?
Exactly. Look, they're we haven't finalised that side just yet, but they're certainly well and truly in the fold and in the mix. And two young guys, Andrew's 22 now, I think, or 21, working in well. He'll work through the back half, maybe to a wing. And Bilal, coming from South Barwon, yeah, giving us an extra bite in the forward half and pinch hit through the middle. So. Yeah, both been good additions as well.
Are you hoping that some of the success of the Anglesey Cricket Club can climb its way up the very small hill between the cricket ground and the footy ground? Because obviously you've got a number that, Dale Kerr instantly springs to mind as one that obviously a key in that side. I'm not sure whether Ned Cooper's playing footy this year or not, but guys like that have they've got links to the footy club. Just hoping that, the green and white down the bottom, turns into success for blue and white up the top.
Yeah, good question, Tom. I certainly get reminded from the cricketing fraternity within Anglesey of how many flags they've won. And, absolutely. That's our aspiration. And they've done a terrific job, don't get me wrong. And, there's Dale Kerr. There's also Jack Elliott and his brother Darcy playing there. Jacob Nolan. They'll all come into the footy fold as well. So, there's three or four guys plus Dylan Taylor. So there's probably half a dozen that cross over now. So
yep.
Ned Cooper's actually, I understand, he won't be playing footy. I think he's going to follow his cricket dream in Darwon, I believe. So, the other boys will be back on deck, are back on deck this week, and ready for a kick on Saturday.
Beautiful. Jack Elliott comes from East Geelong, where he had a wonderful 2019 season. How much are you looking? It's not quite Hawkins and Cameron, but the Erskine-Elliott combination is going to be a good one.
Yeah, look, having Jack up there gives us an added dimension, and not forgetting we've also added Brent and Nathan Lynch from 2019 and Luke Rounds as well. So it's going to be a fairly different looking Anglesey side of what left on paper going in from 2019 to 2021, but we've addressed areas that we believe needed addressing, and all these guys with the current fold we've got, we've got a nice blend out there.
Yep. Torquay knocked you out in that elimination, first semi-final rather, then went on and played in a grand final.
Do you have to remind me of that?
Yeah, sorry. The question I was going to ask you is, did you feel you were just half a step off that top three and you need to find something to challenge, Amos, Torquay and Barwon Heads?
No, not really. No, we didn't. We felt going into the final series, unfortunate we lost the last game to Drysdale. Perhaps if that result had gone the other way, not perhaps, we would have finished on top, and just given us that week off, which we were probably playing a little bit injured, and just the culmination of that round and then two finals probably took its toll. We matched up pretty well with Barwon Heads throughout the course of the year, actually got over the top of them a couple of times. Geelong Amateurs, we felt we were comfortable there. Torquay was our bogey side, there's no doubt about that, and they had our measure. It's just something, one of those football quirks, I guess. I don't think there was much between the top five or six at the end of 2019, and it was a matter of which way the dice rolled and didn't roll our way, and you need a bit of luck come that time of year, as everyone knows. So,
still ruining that loss to Drysdale. And you copped Drysdale. They were just riding on emotion, as we know, following the death of Ryan Gatkins, and you were at that time, unfortunately, the club that copped a club on emotion, and it's happened before in local footy. It'll happen again, but at that time you were drawn to play them in round 18.
Yeah, correct. And we were well aware of it, and we addressed it internally, and you know, we started well, but you know, to Drysdale's credit, they put on a great show that day, and we thought we had them a couple of times, but they just showed great character and will to win that day, and full credit to them.
Yep. Let's have a look to your 2021 fixture. Not only have you not got your home game at Easter, you're going to Motawarri to christen their lights. You play one game in the opening five rounds at home. But the good thing is, in the depths of winter, you've got four consecutive games at home. I suspect if you're going to spend some time away from Alamatta Reserve, you want to be doing it probably when the weather's a bit warmer, and quite happy to have four straight in June, July.
Yeah, certainly an interesting draw. And yeah, that's the way the structure goes with the Easter weekends. From now on, I believe there'll be one or two that miss out. So it's our turn, and we're looking forward to Motawarri and then hosting Bowen Heads round two back at home. So certainly a very challenging fortnight to kick us off. And then we've got three or four away, and round seven's also now been reversed. We're actually playing Ocean Grove away and hosting them round 18. So we don't have many at home in the first seven at all. So, yeah, there's a bit to play out there, but we're well aware of that. And if we do some hard yards early, as you said, there's, you know, you get a run of four or five in the middle of the season, that could be advantageous.
So why the flick around with the Ocean Grove game? Is there a reason for that?
Ocean Grove approached us and submitted it through AFL Bar, and I think there was something to do with their cricket pitches, or I'm not entirely sure. Yeah, okay. But they've asked for the shift and we've agreed to it.
Okay, so you'll play seven of your last ten at home. Is the way it looks. So if you can be come home and be, you know, 5-2, 6-2, and you know, come home with a bit of a rush at home, you set yourselves up for a real crack at it, don't you?
Yeah, we do, but we're really not looking past round one or two.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Not the old cliche, but no. We've got a few boxes to tick before we get that far down the track.
Yeah, very good. Well played. Your practice matches, you've had one hit out against Heidelberg already. You have one of your old mobs, St Albans.
St Albans.
To come. Yes. When people listen to this, you would have already played that, but take out. What are your takeaways from the Heidelberg game? Can you take much out of it when it's your first hit out, or have you, you know, taken a bit more out of your match sims against, you know, Joey's who else you had, Bell Park and Inverleigh?
Yeah, we've you know, we've made a focus on extra match simulation, which, you know, they're minor practice matches in a sense, the way they played out a couple of them, which has been really good for us. We've been able to mix up our list and have a look at the new guys on the list and, you know, what they can bring to the table. So the match simulations were terrific. Heidelberg was your first official practice match, played in pretty ordinary conditions, which we hadn't seen a wet footy for 2 or 3 months. So took us a little while just to find our feet. But after quarter time, it was a terrific contest, and you know, both sides, the intensity went up and the willingness was there, and it was a terrific contest for them, and you know, we really enjoyed hosting them and them coming down. Being a Division One Northern side, they've got some handy players, and as we do. So yeah, it was really good. And as you said, we're looking forward to St Albans coming down this weekend, as we host them down at Anglesey as well.
Yep. Anybody stand out through the match sim or the practice match that, you know, might have been somebody you were, you know, umming and ahhing about for round one, but might have locked themselves away a berth for Motawarri?
Yeah, not. Probably not so much that, Tom. It was more about looking at, you know, what we were doing as a group, structurally, you know, offensive, defensive, and certainly having a look at some of the younger guys that have come onto the list as well, and the new guys, and, you know, everyone's performed as well as they could have at this stage. So, without getting into individuals, we've certainly progressed well through there.
Yep. We mentioned Zane before, not being back. Your ruck burden, who will carry that as a result.
Yeah, we're looking. Brett Middleton's come into the fold, which has been terrific. So he'll certainly play a role through there. But we'll be looking to use Ash Caldwell in that role as well. So with one or two backups. Yep. As we track forward. So,
does Elliot coming in help push Ash up the field a bit in a way? Or has it pushed him more off? He's spent some time on the wing as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, Ash is extremely versatile and a very, very valuable player for us. And his 2018 year was terrific, winning our BNF. 2019, he had a couple of injuries and niggles and just couldn't shake them, had an interrupted pre-season and... he wasn't totally comfortable with what he was putting out week in and week out. So having the time off for him has been great. And, we'll certainly be looking to be using him more upfield, yeah.
Jacko Bewes pinch hit as well with his leap, a bit like Matty Dyer does at Bowen Heads.
He could well be in that role, Tom.
Especially round two. It'd be quite entertaining to watch Bewes and Dyer go head-to-head as probably the two smallest ruckmen of all time.
Yeah, well, that's the modern game a little bit. Certainly having one ruckman to do a lot of the work and then have a mobile ruckman come in and play that extra mid-rolls, fairly significant, I would have thought.
I think it's called the Sean Grigg role now, isn't it?
He's probably the architect, yes.
Talk to us about your captaincy. Have you decided on one yet?
It hasn't formally been announced, so we'll do that in a week or so.
Okay, very good. Contenders are?
The beauty with this group, we've got a number of leaders in all our lines and groups. So, you've got the experience of Dale Carson, Ryan Williams in the middle, Jordan Erskine up forward. They're the chiefs of their own areas as well. Yeah. So, and then you've got, leaders on field like Ash Caldwell, Dale Kerr, Jacob Nolan, whether they have a title or not, they're all considered extremely valuable players and leaders to us. So, but certainly the official captaincy will be within those numbers.
Yep. Looking forward to seeing Luke Rounds. Obviously, you didn't get the chance to see him last year.
Yeah, he's a terrific fella, exciting to have on board, and he's shown us a bit on the track.
Yeah, good stuff. Anybody who'll struggle to get to round one? Anybody that injuries holding them back at the moment?
Touch wood, Tom. You don't want to say this too early, but right at this stage, other than a couple of minor niggles, we prepare with a view to have everyone up and running by round one. So if that means they miss St Albans or they need to play against St Albans, we'll manage that. They've got a week to get over it. But fingers crossed. 98% of our list will be ready to go.
Yep. What do you do with that week off? Do you let the players disappear from the club and you don't see them from Thursday through to the following Tuesday, or do you get them in on the Saturday for a kick and a catch just to tick the legs over? How will that work?
Yeah, no, we'll definitely be... training routine will be as normal Tuesday, Thursday. We do have a social function lined up during that week. We'll get together on that Saturday morning and afternoon. So the routine remains constant and ready for round one. We're also... conscious, we just elected to have that week off because we play, I think it's 12 straight until we have a bye,
yep.
As per the fixturing. So we've done a lot of work to get to where we want to be next Saturday, and that'll be a lighter week after that, and then ramping up leading into round one.
Yep, and it should be a cracker too, under lights against the old rival in Motawarri. First time we'll have played night footy out at Mount Moriac, which I think everybody's looking forward to, and you'll enjoy even more if you're walking off the ground at about 8:45 with the 4 points in the bag to start the season as you renew hostilities. It's been a great rivalry over recent years, Anglesey and Motta, and of course you had the better of them in the elimination final of 2019. Paul, always a pleasure to talk footy with you. Appreciate you coming up from the Surf Coast to join me and have a chat, and can't wait to catch up with you throughout what should be a really entertaining 2021 season.
No, thanks, Tom, and always a pleasure to catch up. Maybe next time you could come down the Surf Coast, it'd be great.
Thanks for listening to this edition of K-Rock Football's Coaches Catch Up. For other editions and the latest local news, head to krockfootball.com.au.